Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, continuing on in the teaching half of the church year. We are blessed to be gathered in the name of our Lord to hear His word and receive His grace. If you are a guest or visiting with us here this morning, we're especially glad that you are here, along with all of our members alike. I do ask that everyone take a moment to fill out the attendance card you can find in your pews, handing those to our ushers as the offering is collected midway through the service. Order of service for this morning is Divine Service Setting 2, beginning on page 167 within the hymnal. We sing now our first hymn, hymn 850, God of Grace and God of Glory. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Just will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
This is the feast.
Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, whose grace always precedes and follows us, help us to forsake all trust in earthly gain and to find in you our heavenly treasure. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 5. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, they hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy at the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Such good seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. honor your father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what is the perfect human being like? Kind, loving, patient, selfless, joyful, strong, healthy, wise, smart. All of these, all the time. Basically, perfection is defined by all of the virtues we aspire to. The same thing St. Paul tells us we are to think about constantly. Adam and Eve, they were such pictures of perfection before their fall into sin. And the Lord Jesus lived his life in such a way without ever sinning. The man in this morning's gospel text claims to be as close to perfection as humanly possible. In true sincerity, the man believed he had kept the Ten Commandments, all those listed out by Jesus. He had done them perfectly from his youth. And this would raise him up in the ranks of the Jews. He was known then to be a ruler of a local synagogue. So he had power, he had respect, he had authority, even at a younger age. This man was what all Jews should strive to be, and truly what all people should strive to be. In his dealings, this devout and holy man had heard about Jesus, and now he was seeking Jesus out. Jesus was across the Jordan and in the region of Judea, in the southern part of the nation of Israel, and the man ran out to meet Jesus as he heard Jesus was nearby. Jesus was leaving a certain town. A man of respect in those days did not run. They would also not kneel before anyone but a king. And yet this man falls in the ground before Jesus. So he must hold Jesus in high regard, and yet he calls Jesus good teacher. Note here, he does not use any type of messianic title for Jesus, and so he is not acknowledging Jesus as Lord and as God. But in the man's mind, Jesus must be very similar to the man himself because of Jesus' own goodness and piety, living life according to God's instruction. God must have granted Jesus great power and great wisdom, would be the man's thought. And so the man wanted what Jesus had. And he believed Jesus could give him the very secret to what he was lacking. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The man knows he is still lacking something, even in his greatness as a human being. He's humble enough, if you want to call it that, still to know he needs something more. That's why he is after Jesus, a wise man, a powerful man. After the man's answer about keeping the law perfectly from his youth, Mark reveals that Jesus loved the man. Jesus' heart truly went out to him. He knew exactly what the man needed to do for eternal life. Jesus understood exactly what the man was lacking in his current state. But going back to Jesus' first words to the man, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Many critics today of Jesus consider his words here as an admission that he is not God in the flesh. It's exactly the opposite. Here, Jesus is claiming his deity, his divinity. God alone is good, he says, and the man recognizes Jesus as good. So the man should rightly conclude this Jesus is God. If he does, if he believes Jesus to truly be God and truly a good teacher, he will listen and he will obey whatever Jesus says. But sadly, the man cannot do it. As God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus knows the man's failures perfectly, better than the man himself. He knows the man is much more sinful than he even believes. And while one may get close in this life to keeping the Ten Commandments in their mere simplest form, by their actions, their deeds amongst fellow humans, it is impossible to think purely about all these things all the time. Hatred creeps into everyone's heart. Lust is aroused through the eyes. And jealousy is kindled through our comparisons with others. But rather than delve into those depths, for the man, Jesus strikes right to the man's greatest problem, his greatest addiction. Out of love for the man, Jesus cares enough for him to tell him exactly what must be done, and it is a blow. The hardest thing the man could hear. You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Despite the man's success at keeping the law of God, he had failed. Failed to rightly view his blessings, his possessions. Likely, like many Christians today, the man viewed his earthly blessings as a result of his work, his faithfulness to God. For to not be wealthy or healthy or wise would be a sign of unbelief or even corruption. The man could not part ways with his own wealth. But Jesus knows perfectly well that the only way to be able to truly give up everything for Jesus is to already have faith in Jesus. For the ability to sacrifice all things for the Lord Jesus Christ comes only from believing that Jesus has already sacrificed all things for you. The man then, of course, is put in his place, and he is humbled. And even then, if one could accomplish that sacrifice, it would be extremely challenging. No one can possibly do it of their own accord. No one can deny themselves and follow after Jesus by their own reason or strength. Only faith, worked by the power of the Holy Spirit in the words of the gospel, can lead one to such sacrifice. Disheartened by this saying, the man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Sadly, the man left Jesus. But Jesus never left him, though the man would have disagreed. For many who are challenged by the Lord Jesus' teachings still today believe that Jesus is wrong, that he is not fair in the proclamation of the gospel of forgiveness. They do not see that the problem lies within themselves. Divisions within the visible Christian church here on earth exist because we sinful human beings cannot let go of our pride. And thus concede to the clear teaching and be humbled by the word of Christ himself. For every violation of the commandments of God that you and I commit comes from our own rejection of God as Lord, as superior, as all-knowing and all-wise, and us putting ourselves in his holy place. Yet the Lord Jesus remains faithful. He is ever near, with his gospel, with his grace, with his forgiveness. He is quick then to cleanse us from all that unrighteousness whenever we confess our sins and repent. The man was oh so close to Jesus, both spiritually and physically, geographically, and yet he was so far away. While the man did view himself as righteous, as pious, as holy and devout, Jesus alone was truly righteous. But Jesus invited the man to come with him, to follow after him. But quite powerfully, as this is located toward the end of Mark's gospel, where Jesus was heading for the man to follow, no one could really follow. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, to the cross. Just a few short days from that time, Jesus would be rejected, cast aside by the religious leaders, and he would sacrifice himself for all of mankind. Jesus would pour out himself, empty himself out upon the tree of the cross. He would sell all that he had in order to win our eternal life. Purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, as the explanation of the second article is found in the small catechism. Jesus loved the man so much that he revealed this truth to him. The way of eternal life, it is in Jesus alone, the one standing right there in front of the man. And Jesus loved all people, all the world so much that he laid down his life as the propitiation, the reconciliation, the payment for every last sin. Gaining eternal life is not about what we must do. It is always about what God must do. Jesus alone could live perfectly for us as man, and thus have his holy life as God cover over all people. Only Jesus then could lay down his life upon the cross and die as a man, with his death then as God being the payment for every last sin. None of us can ever possibly do enough for our own everlasting life. Even the rich young ruler, the pinnacle of the Jews in those days, he was not good enough. Not even close. God's law is always perfect, and always just. But for us sinners, it is never a way of life or of salvation. It always, always accuses us. Lex semper accusat, in the Latin. This law of God, his holy word, his decree for all mankind, it shows us our sinfulness. And so its purpose is never, though, to drive us away from Christ, but to drive us away from us, from ourselves. The law of God readies us then in death for the good news of the gospel. Of life. Jesus is your life and your salvation. He has saved you from all your sins by destroying them in his own body upon the cross. Jesus is the right and the only answer for our problem of sin. And Jesus is always before us. He's always here before the world. He continues through the preaching of the word, the speaking of his people, the presence of the church on earth to beckon all to come to him, to follow him, to believe in him, to trust him in his holy word. His holy word says, baptism gives forgiveness and eternal life and salvation, and so it His holy word says his body and his blood are truly present in bread and wine of his supper. And so they truly are. And that supper gives us more grace and more forgiveness, grace upon grace. And so in Jesus' word and in his sacraments, the gifts of his cross, the fruits of his cross, what he has won, is channeled directly to you. Given over to you as a gift. For in Jesus, you have all the treasures of heaven, far more than anything you sacrifice or you lose in this life. For you have Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. To life everlasting. Amen. Together we stand to confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the post-communion canticle. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
You may be seated. Special thank you to our organist, Mr. Keith Williams, for playing here this morning, for Miss Sarah McPike as well, for her solo this morning. We give thanks to God for their talents and all those of the others here at our church, in our choirs, and in our bell ringers as well. You can always join them in their practices throughout the week. They'd love to have you there. Next Eat Night for our school is tomorrow, and that's at Texas Roadhouse here in Champaign. That starts actually at 3 o'clock, their new opening time, a couple months back, I guess. It goes all the way till their closing time, so you can take one of those flyers with you, available on the table. 10% of our purchases goes back to our school. I think they bump it up a little bit if we go past a certain amount as well, so we give glory to God for that opportunity. Our craft fair for our school, an art fair, and the car show is coming up next weekend. You can participate in that, and please join us for that. Come check stuff out, do some holiday shopping, and enjoy some fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ here at St. John. Trunk or Treat is the last Sunday of this month, October the 27th, I think it is, and so we will have that following our late service. It starts around 2:30 out in our back parking lot. You can still sign up for that. Donations of candy are still accepted as well. Next Sunday, though, is a Voters Sunday, and so we do have a voters meeting next Sunday at 1 o'clock in our fellowship hall. If you're a regular member here and a voting member, then you're welcome to attend. If you'd like to become a voting member and are already a member of the congregation, you can attend as well, and we'll get you on that roster. Other announcements you can find printed within your bulletin. We greet each other in the peace of our Lord as we head off to our education and fellowship hour.